In the days of the Reformation, Lutherans insisted that justification is the doctrine on which the church stands or falls. But is this still the case?
Pastor Hans Feeney talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In a world of moral anarchy, is discussing how man is justified still the most important conversation we need to have? The answer is yes, because we'll never regain a proper understanding of marriage or human identity or even morality itself until we first understand what it means to be made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ.
You can meet and hear Pastor Hans Feeney making the case for the centrality of justification at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find registration information at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
So if you went to university and you believed something that the professor believed was wrong, you would be expected to try to hold your own. We've gone from there to education as emotional and personal validation.
Because you oppose the intentional killing of an innocent human being in the womb, you are responsible to take on all kinds of other issues. Now, Todd, nobody else gets hit with this.
What we believe about marriage is related to who we think Christ is, what Christ does for his bride, the church, what the church is, how Christ possesses his bride, and what he does for her.
A very secular understanding of sin, where sin is not you rebelling against God, sin is you participating in the psychological oppression of me in some way.
This retired Lutheran school religion, science, and math teacher loves to listen to and continues to learn from Issues Etc. And on March 14th, I still love a good-sized piece of pie, 3.14159265.
You find it all over the place in your average big-box church, typical of American evangelicalism. You find a lot of discussion. Well, it used to be about, 20 years ago, purpose. Remember when purpose was all the rage in every big-box church, beginning with Rick Warren and then spreading out through pop American evangelicalism? And it's kind of stayed that way, except it's now become destiny, or maybe even your dream destiny. Whatever it is that God has for you to do, he will tell you, he'll reveal it to you. And when he's revealed it to you, it's your task to live it and to fulfill your dream destiny. It's not much different than purpose, although I think purpose was a little more, well, it didn't have the alliteration that dream destiny has. Maybe why that's gone by the wayside and dream destiny has caught on. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Friday afternoon, the 9th of March. We're going to be talking with Pastor Chris Rosebro, talking about the burden of finding and fulfilling your dream destiny. We'll spend about a half hour with him, and then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 4 soundbites we will play for you from this week's Issues Etc. audio. We'll play them, and then your job is to listen, and then give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can go to the Facebook fan page. We've left space for your votes for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Many people think that false doctrine is not really a very big deal, but if you would, explain some of the dangers that people face when they believe what a false teacher teaches.
All right. So we can always talk about the eternal consequences, but that's really not where I want to focus our attention today. I really want to focus in on, if you would, kind of the psychological damage that false teaching really wreaks on people. What it often does is it creates expectations in the name of God. So you have to understand there is no higher authority than God himself. And when somebody says that God wills for you to do this, that, or the other thing, then you have the anxiety within yourself of saying, well, I'm not doing that, or I'm not fulfilling that. And then you have the fear that God is somehow angry at you, disappointed with you, and things of that nature. And so what false teaching often does is it doesn't necessarily just twist God's law and not rightly understand the gospel. Oftentimes, what false teaching will do is give you a false man-made law that you have to follow, and it's up to you to make sure that you obey it. It's a confusing of law and gospel, but it's a confusing of law and gospel by the gospel being omitted and a different law being put in place rather than the law of God.
So rather than, as it's being sold to so many people, this is not this blissful finding of your purpose and living it out day by day, and with every sunrise you are certain of that you're living your dream destiny. This is tyranny of the mind and the spirit.
Yes, it really is. And here's the reason why, is that God has not promised to reveal a dream destiny to you. And the Christian life, especially the life of bearing fruit of the Spirit, of sanctification and good works for your neighbor's sake, that's what we're really supposed to do. But these people are not focusing us on that. And as a result of it, the dream destiny thingy doctrine becomes this vague thing that you've got to fulfill. And then God, when he doesn't step in and make things happen according to what you believe he revealed to you, you realize that there's a problem. And so there's a whole portion of preaching within evangelicalism, and we're going to hear a sample of it today, where it's about problem solving. How come you haven't fulfilled your dream destiny? What's causing the blockage, if you would, in fulfilling it? And you're going to hear today what I'm alarmingly hearing a lot more of. The person who is not fulfilling their dream destiny, ultimately, it's going to be it come down on them. They haven't done something that they're supposed to do in order to have it fulfilled.
Who are we going to hear from, and what is she going to bring us first?
We're going to be hearing from a pastor, you have to put that in air quotes, Pastor Penny Maxwell of Freedom House Church, and they are in Cornelius, North Carolina. And this is from her sermon titled Sweet Dreams, and in it she's problem solving, so to speak, from the stage about what could potentially be getting in the way of you fulfilling your dream destiny.
Have any of you ever pulled out your glasses and there was a scratch or a smudge across them and you had a hard time seeing? So that happened to me the other day. I was driving down 77, and my husband gets a little nervous when I drive anyway. And I was driving down 77, and I needed my sunglasses. So I'm like reaching over in my purse, but I'm still keeping my eyes on the road, right? Okay, I am. So I put my sunglasses on because I had somewhere I needed to be, somewhere I needed to go, a destination that I needed to reach. But when I put my sunglasses on, I couldn't see because my entire left side of the lens had a smudge across it. So instead of thinking about where I was supposed to be, I had to spend my time cleaning the dirty lens, right? It distracted me and it got me off a little bit. And I started thinking about how oftentimes that's how life is. We have somewhere we need to be. We have a destination that we are supposed to arrive at. But possibly we could be looking through a dirty lens and it is hindering us from getting to where we need to be. And I determined in life, I think there's two what I want to call factors. There's the me factor, and then there's the God factor. And I want to talk about both of those today. And I want to read you this quote by Christopher Reeve, because I thought it was really good in explaining the me factor when it comes to our dreams. He said, so many of our dreams at first seem impossible, and then they seem improbable. And then when we summon the will, when we summon the will, they soon become inevitable. So that's the me factor. There are times in my life where I'm going to have to summon the will that's inside of me to accomplish the dreams that God has for my life, that he has placed in my heart.
Okay, long on illustration and kind of, then she began to lose me, especially on that final thing, summoning the will. What is she talking about there?
So the idea is that God has revealed a dream destiny, put it in your heart. You have to learn how to hear the voice of God directly without the word of God, you know, the direct whispers of God, as they like to say. And then once God reveals his dream destiny for you, you're going to note that Penny Maxwell is saying that if you're not arriving at that destination, at that dream that God has for your life, that, well, there's two factors now in play. One is the God factor, and the other is the you factor. So, I mean, she's going to basically say, we need to take a close look at the you factor. But before she really kind of fleshes that out, she's going to literally go into the Gospel of John chapter 2 regarding the story of the wedding feast at Cana in Galilee and do something really weird with the scripture to kind of make it look like the scriptures teach this idea that dream destinies are fulfilled in tandem between the God factor and the you factor.
Oftentimes I look at things as a problem. Instead, God looks at a problem wrapped up and it's really an opportunity. But when things are oftentimes presented to us, our first glance, our first thought is this is a problem. But do you know most products in the United States were developed because of a problem? Same thing happened at a wedding in the Bible. Jesus shows up at this wedding and he was just there to attend the wedding. But his mother, Mary, comes over to him and says, hey, Jesus, you understand the way that things look in our culture that we're in, and the wine has run out. And at a wedding, that's a big no-no. It was such a huge culture of hospitality. It wasn't a good thing that the wine ran out. So Mary approached Jesus. And then after she approached Jesus, she went over to the servants and she said to them, listen, if he comes to you and he asks you to do something, whatever he says to do, do it. So a little later, Jesus comes over to the servants and he says to them, bring me some water. Have you ever wondered why Jesus said, bring me some water before he turned it into wine? I mean, he's the Son of God. He didn't need water. He could have just said, poof, and there was the best wine ever. But he didn't do that. He asked them to bring something. He was trying to invoke something in them because it's really hard to run when you're not even moving yet. So he says to them, you bring what you can, and I'll do what only I can do. But oftentimes, when he asks us to do something, we don't necessarily do it. And if there is an issue going on and our dreams aren't being accomplished or something's not happened, could I submit to you today that it's not the he factor that's the problem? Maybe I need to take a look at the me factor.
Okay, Chris, I'm getting old. My eyesight isn't what it used to be. Mm-hmm. But I see on my screen in front of me pretty clearly John chapter 2 that she refers to. And I don't see the words, bring me some water.
No. And it's worse than that. She claims that she knows the reason why that all of this took place. Jesus said, fill the jars with water. They filled them up to the brim. And he said, now draw some out and take it to the master. And it turned into wine. And that's kind of the issue, is that this is a very interesting sign that Jesus performs. He turns washing water into wedding wine. The biblical theological significance there is actually quite amazing, but that's for another program. But verse 11 says this, this, the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. You see, we know the reason why he performed this miracle. It was to manifest his glory, and the result was trust and belief in Christ. What this woman has done is she has added details and twisted details of the story. She didn't actually read out the text, but in doing so, she has now laid a very heavy guilt trip on the people at her church. So if you're attending there, you're thinking, man, my dream destiny isn't happening. I'm supposed to become a world famous opera singer, and I can't seem to get anyone to take my opera singing seriously. Well, she would say, listen, God does his part, you got to do your part. May I suggest that the reason why you haven't fulfilled your dream destiny yet is because of the you factor. You are still not doing what is necessary for God to say, okay, now I'll finally do my part. In other words, dream destinies are not a free gift. They are something that is earned based upon your obedience or your tenacity or you applying yourself to the dream destiny problem. But this, here's the problem. Nowhere are we told that God's going to reveal a dream destiny to us. That's the problem. This woman and her husband are teaching false doctrine, and now they're laying a very heavy burden on the people at their church, basically saying it's your fault this dream destiny hasn't showed up.
Pastor Chris Roseboro is our guest. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity Today. We're talking about the heavy burden of finding and fulfilling your dream destiny. More from Penny Maxwell after this.
Scientism is not science. It's a dangerous and self-refuting philosophy that fixates on means but ignores wisdom.
Dr. Angus Manouge of the Evangelical Philosophical Society talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And it leads to the abolition of man as man is reduced to a material object. It's used as a weapon by atheists and skeptics to attack religion as a source of knowledge. It begins with Bacon's dictum, knowledge is power, but it overlooks the way in which power corrupts.
You can meet and hear Dr. Angus Manouge making the case against scientism at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th, 15 miles east of St. Louis in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find a list of speakers, topics, and registration information at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at EdGruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Do you know when the Church Fathers were revived, when we got the Church Fathers back? The Reformation.
Why do you hate me so? Why do you treat me like this? Why do you love this Jesus more than you love your family?
So if sin brings death, then the forgiveness of sins is also going to bring life, and it's going to give life not just to our souls, but to our bodies. So this becomes a kind of hidden seed of the resurrection that is being implanted within us.
The deliverer doesn't come until Good Friday and Easter. The deliverer, it's not Saul, it's not even David, it is the Son of David, who sits at the right hand of God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. That's the taste of the four sound bites that we're going to play for you here in a few minutes when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Get ready to vote and give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. You can vote in advance by sending us an email with your vote. Remember, we like to know where you're listening and why you're voting for the soundbite you're voting for. Talk back at issuesetc.org or via Twitter at issuesetc or to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity Today, the heavy burden of finding and fulfilling your dream destiny. Pastor Chris Roseboro is our guest. What's next from Penny Maxwell?
So now she's going to ratchet it up. I mean, and we're going to note, this is law that we're going to be hearing from her, but it's not biblical law. It's kind of made up law by Penny Maxwell. And she's going to use a metaphor. When she was in high school, she was an athlete on a softball team, and she's going to use the metaphor of bunting and then take it up just a little bit of a notch as far as, like, it ratchet up the intensity to tell these people it's their fault that their dream destiny hasn't arrived.
You can bunt and you can get yourself on first, but is that God's best for your life? Is God's best for your life just simply trying to get on first base? Or is the goal to get around the bases and come home? And in my house, we don't curse, but I've taught my kids to say this. I'm like, the Maxwells don't do things half donkey. We don't do things half donkey because our Lord and Savior did not. And so every time we take a step in this life, we have to ask ourselves, am I bunting or am I giving this my very best?
Okay, Chris. I mean, I disagree with her baseball strategy, because sometimes a bunt is absolutely necessary. It's the best thing to do. But laying that aside, this is pretty heavy stuff she's laying on her people, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a browbeating. This is a nagging. I mean, literally, this is like a sermon that where this woman's nagging her congregation at this point to not do things half donkey and to really put their best into making their dream destiny happen. And of course, the question immediately I have is, how do I apply myself to making my dream destiny happen? I mean, I'm not even sure if I heard God's voice saying that I was supposed to do this, that, or the other thing. What's my next move? I mean, I'm really trying really hard. How much harder do I need to try? And so, this just, imagine the burden that the people there, and this is an ironically named church, Freedom House Church. This church should be renamed Bondage House. She is literally enslaving them to a false doctrine that is all law, but it's not even God's law. It's just made up law, and it's nonsense. And the damage that this is doing to these people is, there's no way of measuring it. But the next part of this sermon gets even more bizarre. She's about to go into Luke chapter 5, which is the story of Peter being called to become a fisher of men, you know, and after Jesus preaches in his boat, tells him to let down his nets. And watch what she does with this. Rather than getting to the real punchline of the text, she turns this into, imagine if Peter hadn't half donkeyed it. No joke. Listen to what she does.
Go with me to this scripture. It's in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It says, so it was as the multitude pressed about him, meaning Jesus, to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, and the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Can you spell that with me, nets? Then Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, who is also called Peter, he said, Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon Peter answered him and said, Master, we have toiled all night and we have caught nothing. But nevertheless, because you're asking, Jesus, even though we did it and we know it's not going to happen, I'm going to humor you. So then what does he do? He says, at your word, I will let down the... Can you spell that with me? Is that what Jesus asked him to do? What did he say to do? It says, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their... Spell that with me. Was breaking. Could you imagine? Here's this fisherman. What would the dream of a fisherman be? To catch the greatest catch of all time. Fish equal dollars. Here he is out there. Jesus himself sees him washing all these nets, and he's like, take those nets, lower them down. But because he was tired, he got a little smudge on his glasses, right? Because he was tired, because he tried it on his own, he determined it wasn't going to work, but he went ahead and humored Jesus. So he puts in one net because he didn't want to have to clean them all again. He only put down one net, and he brings that net up, and the Bible says that it is so filled with fish, the boat began to sink and the net began to break. Do you think maybe that's the moment that Simon Peter realized, I should have put all the nets down? How many times does God ask us to do something and we just get on first? We just let a net down.
All right, Chris, take that apart for us if you would.
Well, we're going to start with the Greek. If you have a good English translation like the ESV, I'm not sure which translation she was working from. The ESV captures the Greek perfectly, and Peter let down nets. Ta diktua is the Greek on this, and the Greek is it's a plural. So he let down the nets, and his nets, plural, ta diktua, were breaking. So I don't know what translation she was reading, but the Greek says nets, and the ESV says nets, and that it was nets. So he actually obeyed Christ. But what she did there is just so fascinating, because that's not the punchline of this particular account in the Gospel of Luke. No sooner does Peter realize that his nets are breaking, they caught this huge amount of fish, which would have meant a lot of dollars for a fisherman like him. He literally falls at, you know, Jesus' knees, and he says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." And all who were with him, they were astonished at the catch of fish. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything, including those nets, and they followed Jesus. So what this woman has done with the scriptures is literally criminal. And she has taken Christ out of it, at least the biblical Christ, and basically put the Jesus in there of, you know, who's got his arms crossed, saying, "I'm waiting for you to stop half donkeying it and stop trying to bunt and do what I say so that you can have your dream destiny," as if Peter's dream destiny were somehow being the best fisherman of all time. It's just utter nonsense, which shows this woman doesn't know the Bible, doesn't know who Jesus is, has no clue what the gospel is, and she has no concept of sin, grace, repentance, and the forgiveness of sins, and that this dream destiny doctrine that she thinks is the center of Christianity has consumed her to the point where she is not only deceived, she is now abusing the people who are coming to that church to receive from her pastoral care. It's absolutely criminal beyond belief.
There are times living in my various vocations when I am ready and able to give it 100%. But those times are pretty rare, Chris. Most of the time, because of, you know, the constraints of time or the we are put into our vocations to bear crosses, and part of the cross is the conflict that we find between our vocations as Christians. Sometimes it's 50%, it's 30%, and it has to be just good enough, okay? That's going to have to do. The demands on the time or all of those things simply mean juggling all those priorities, all those things that I know Jesus has told me to do in his word. I can read passages that direct me to do these things. If I lived under Penny Maxwell's way of thinking about it, I would go to bed at night racked with guilt. And worse than that, Chris, with no answer except that I got to get up tomorrow and give everything 100% all the time, no matter what. I wouldn't live long if that were the case, Chris.
Neither of us would. This is the kind of preaching that literally makes it so that a person leaves Christianity and leaves Christianity a basket case. You know, this is nothing short of abuse. And the reality of this situation is that each and every one of us, we fall short daily when it comes to our vocations. We don't do enough. We don't put in enough quality. So what's the solution? Just try harder? Yeah, you know, you're going to lose your mind doing that. Let me tell you this, is that I'm glad to hear that you recognize that you have not done what you need to do in your vocations. And so I would admonish you, and I admonish myself in the same way, to repent. And here's the good news. Christ has bled and died for all those times when you have not done what you ought to do in your vocation. He is the one who has fulfilled his vocation perfectly, giving his 100%. In fact, his very life, where he poured it out for your sins and mine on the cross, so that we can be forgiven. And it is true that we are admonished by God's law to obey it, and yet it is also true that we don't keep it perfectly. And so daily we pray, as Christ has taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then we pray, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And when you go to church and you hear the pastor say, I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, forgive you all of your sins, rest in the assurance that your Savior has bled and died for every one of your sins, even the sins of half donkeying it. And the great news is you don't have some dream destiny to fulfill. You have good works that you have been prepared for you are in Christ Jesus. This is what Ephesians says. So rest assured that you are forgiven and that your standing with God has been secured by Christ. And that will give you the freedom to even do a better job tomorrow on your vocation.
What kind of dream destinies will you be dissecting tonight on Fighting for the Faith, Chris?
Tonight we're going to learn how to hear the voice of God, and we're going to hear about who, apparently there's a woman who claims that God has revealed to her who the next five presidents of the United States are going to be, so we're going to talk about that as well.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough on Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it's time to play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. We got our four sound bites ready to go. We will play them for you, and after you've listened, we're going to give you the phone number and the email and the Twitter address and the Facebook address so you can start voting for Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play four soundbites from this week's audio. We'll also give away the LPR bundle package to the listener with the best vote for Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. And I have Issues t-shirt and Issues, Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad. We'll be right back with Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week.
What is a pietist? Do Lutherans fast? When our faith and our feelings go to war, who wins? Can a hymnal enrich your prayer life? What can medieval pilgrims teach Christians today about devotion? Find answers to these questions and more in the March issue of The Lutheran Witness. Subscribe to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Are you living in central Iowa and longing for a church where the gospel is boldly confessed in all of its purity? Are you tired of hearing the latest purpose-driven How to Live Your Best Life Now TED Talk? Are you desperate to hear the preaching of the cross, which brings you and your children the knowledge, peace, and comfort of the gospel? Then come to Holy Cross Lutheran Church. Located in Carlisle, Iowa, at the southeast corner of Des Moines, we're a short ride from everywhere in the city. Visit our website, holycrosscarlisle.org.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These six engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholes. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christon logo at issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
It's time for the 5th annual Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 17th and 18th, added to benefit Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville. The show is a fundraiser produced by a volunteer parents group with the support of over 70 exhibitors and partners. Admission and parking are free. Hear home and garden speakers from Priscilla's Nursery and Mosby Building Arts. See a monster truck from Dex's Tree Service. Meet radio personalities and Fred Bird, too. Participate in the Cardinal Glennon Safety Fair, child fingerprinting and fire safety, and take advantage of pet adoption, electronic recycling, and shredding services on site. Register to win a fire pit from Outdoor Creations and an all-inclusive trip for two at an AM resort courtesy of Jadina Tweston at Travel One and Fun Jet Vacations. Restrictions apply. The Metro East Home and Garden Show is sponsored by the Bank of Edwardsville, CJDE Recycling, Scott Credit Union, Mosquito Joe's, Riverbender, and EdGlennToday.com. Show details can be found at MEHGS.org or on Facebook.